I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. All right, great to be back now with the Newburyport Superintendent of Schools, Sean Gallagher. And, Coach, welcome back to MSO. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, first thing I got to ask you about is Thanksgiving football. I mean, you know, you're entrenched in it, both as a coach, as a broadcaster, as an educator. What was it like on Thanksgiving for you?
I think for all of us, it was, you know, it was a little strange. I actually got to sleep in a little bit, so that was good. Fortunately, I started eating a lot earlier than I typically do. But I think growing up, you know, in Salem, and, you know, as a younger brother of three older brothers, I just remember even, you know, at age, you know, 3-4 years old, going to Thanksgiving. It was really part of a whole family tradition for us, growing up and playing in Thanksgiving and coaching, and then now as a superintendent. So I think for many people in Massachusetts, it was a little bit different, you know, and I think for all of us, we're just, you know, being flexible and trying to do what's best. I think that's something that, we got accustomed to with this pandemic since March, but, yeah, it was definitely a little bit different. I am looking with, you know, our fingers crossed here, that floating season of football, and hopefully we can get those rivalry games in. So.
Yeah, that would be great. I know it was kind of what I found interesting, Coach, before we get to the Newburyport school system here, was talking with so many coaches over the KPN League and the Northeastern Conference. How many of them described just what you mentioned, going to a Thanksgiving Day football game with, usually it was with their dads, and they go back to like 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. I found that kind of interesting that all you guys have sort of that same experience.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, for me, and as you know, and for, I would say, years since this whole new playoff system, especially Eastern Mass football, with tradition and, you know, I had my opinions with the MIAA and doing this playoff and watering down the leagues and watering down Thanksgiving Day games has been a thorn in my side. But, yeah, because for many of us, I'm just an adamant believer, many of us, it's more of Thanksgiving Day football is more about, it's not just about the game, it's about community, it's about families, it's about bringing communities together, and that's something that Massachusetts, I believe, should hang our hats on and not try to be an Alabama, Florida, or Texas football. I just think for us to try to duplicate that and just so we can say, oh, this is the true state champ, to me, is ridiculous.
Good point.
We should be embracing Thanksgiving Day football because that's something that all those other states have no idea about.
Right.
And I'm just passionate about that, and I'll say it probably to the day I'm done. It just brings communities together, and I've seen there's so much goodwill out of Thanksgiving week and Thanksgiving football. It's not just the players, it's the cheerleaders, it's the band, Rotarians. So that's my soapbox.
There you go. Okay. Yep. And it's also the players who come back there, whether they're in college or they're out working jobs. It's so much. But we're going to get it back. And I read your message, your Thanksgiving message to your students and their families and so on. And it brings me with this current snowstorm. As superintendent, you often have one of the most stressful things you do is to, how do I call off school? But you didn't have to worry about that this time, I don't think.
No, it was definitely a little bit different. You know, we went with a remote learning day on the snow day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just credit, you know, our faculty and support staff, and all the training and everything that we've done, that we have the capabilities to be virtual learning on a snow day. So that was a little bit different and something that we tried out, and at this point, knock on wood, we had success with that. And who knows if that's going to be the future of education. But, you know, like I said, we take one step at a time. And I think our goal is if we could reduce the snow days, you know, for families, students and families, then in June they can get out a lot earlier. And, you know, with hopefully the advancement of the vaccines, hopefully by June, you know, families might be able to spend a little bit more time in the summer. So that's kind of our goal.
When you look at where you were in March and then where you were in September and where you are now, what are the positives that you can look back on, Coach? Because you've got so many instead of you know, installing a program, letting it play out for a semester or a half a year or a year and then evaluating it, you're pretty much consigned to making changes almost weekly, if not daily, aren't you?
Exactly. You know, 100%. And I think that the silver lining here, as you know, and with any type of adversity, adversity can really separate communities and create division. But here, I think we're very fortunate, Newburyport, with the adversity that we've been dealing with the virus and the pandemic, I really think it's brought us closer together as a school community where our teachers, faculty support, administration, central office, we all come together and we problem solve and we do the best that we can under these trying times. And I think it's going to, you know, we're in, as you said, since March, we've been doing this for a while. I think when this is past us, we're going to come out even as a stronger community than we ever have before. So I think that's the silver lining, but I can't thank our faculty and support staff and the administration enough. So we really evaluated how the remote learning went on in the spring. And just to let you know, we had this summer in preparation because we knew there was going to be some sort of virtual learning this fall, and we had no idea what it was going to entail, what it was going to look like. But we had 256 staff members during the summer take advanced technology courses.
Wow.
We had 187 staff members throughout the summer work on hybrid planning. And then another 89 staff members working on that skills-based instruction, which all ties in to support the learning platforms that we have this year. So, you know, they really worked hard and they dedicated themselves over the summer to, in preparation. And I can't, you know, that dedication and commitment to the students and families in Newburyport, I think is really unprecedented. So as superintendent, I'm just really thankful for the dedication and commitment of the staff to do what's best for kids, and that's kind of what we do on a daily basis.
I got a couple more questions for you, Superintendent Gallagher. One is, right now, we're still in an emergency. I mean, it's still a worldwide pandemic. It's an emergency, and so some of the long range planning that you would ordinarily do, maybe grade by grade or school by school, that's sort of put on the back burner, is it not? And right now, it's just let's get through today, and then we'll see if we can get to tomorrow type thing.
Exactly, and as you know, all educators, we're planners. I mean, that's what we do. We plan not only on a daily basis, but we plan monthly. You know, every school year, we have it planned out a whole year in advance.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about challenges, it's really, as you said, it's changing that mindset of I have everything ready to go, I have everything planned out, and it's really you're just dealing with changes on a constant basis. Mm-hmm. So I think that's pulling a lot of great educators out of their comfort zone, because that's exactly what we're all about is planning and preparation. So I think for all of us, I think as challenging as it is, I think we have the mindset like, you know, our plans today could change at any moment. And for our learning models that we've created, we have the ability to pivot quickly. So if we had to do a full remote day, we could do that shortly. If we had to go back to our hybrid model, we could do that shortly. And then someday, we're fingers crossed, back to full in person. We're ready to do that if we get the green light to do that, you know, from the governor and the state. So I think that's really the challenge, and I think for us it's just collaborating, working together, and problem solving, bringing everyone to the table, because no one, not a superintendent or a group of people, have all the answers. And I think when you bring more people to the table to problem solve, you're going to come up with a better result. So.
Oh yeah, I think
philosophy.
Well, I think that you know, that's also leadership, and I was going to ask you where you get your advice from, but I think you've answered that question twice already in talking about the community leadership and your staff leadership, and I'm just wondering, knowing you, Mr. Gallagher, I'm guessing you pretty much have an open door policy, but then you got to get your information out. So are you able to communicate with everyone in this current situation?
Yes, I think, you know, and that's exactly right, Rick. I listened to a lot of great advice from not only from the school side and the planning side. We have a great medical advisory team. They give me a lot of information. And then ultimately every decision we're making, we're trying to make in the best interest of students first. And that's what we've been doing. Not everyone's happy with the decision. But I think, our families and community says, they're making the decisions what they really feel is best for kids. And even though they may disagree time to time, I think we hang our hat on our students first. And so that's kind of what we've been doing. And, I think, open door policy and it's a collective process in the problem solving, because there's so many challenges, with the operation and facilities, with health and safety first. I can't think, we've probably had hundreds of people at all various different types of meetings, just giving us advice and getting us through it. So I'm really just proud of our school community, because we're, halfway there. We got three more days until the winter break, and as you said, then we regroup and hopefully get ready for the second semester.
Final question, I promise. It used to drive me crazy as a teacher when we would get mandates from the state or from the federal government without any backup, without any plan, but these are things we had to do. Are you getting cooperation from the state, at the state level, whether it's education or government or whoever?
Well, I think I agree 100%. I think that's the frustrating piece. Maybe it's the coach in me, but waiting for mandates or recommendations or guidance, I feel, and I don't want to speak for all superintendents on the North Shore, but I think a lot of us have been kind of left out on our own to make a lot of these decisions. And since March, I think that's kind of been our mantra is, all right, well, if we're going to be left to make these decisions per district, then we're going to make a decision what's best for our community. And that's why it's important to bring a lot of people together. I think it would be helpful at times, if we did receive some, more stern guidance or mandates that would support a lot of the decisions. I mean, as you know, and you're probably talking to a lot of different administrators throughout the North Shore, you see a little variation from one district to the next. Because I think every district is just doing what they feel is important within their community. There hasn't been really a blanket guidance or recommendations, from the state to provide, I think, the, steady leadership that we really need. So I'm hoping maybe that, with the cases that are rising right now all around us, we would hope we would get maybe some more guidance or mandates or strong recommendations on how to address a lot of that. But as of right now, unfortunately, many of the districts, I think, are on their own to do the best that they can with safety and the well-being of staff and students first.
Well, I hope you're able to get a little rest coming up here in the next couple of weeks, Mr. Gallagher, and I thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore.
Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.